Sometimes bosses, drunk ones, have rather unrealistic expectations. Expectations which can never be met, nor should they be. You can do a better job. That's their expectation. And that's today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
And it is. And yes, the phone number is 833-HATE-JOB. It's a toll-free number. Call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and unload. Get your office horror story off your chest anonymously. We'd love to hear it. Or just write it in on our website at officehorrorstories.com, and we may use it on a future episode of the program. So, yes, please do that, and let your friends know that this program exists. Without that, we can't grow. So by giving us a review out there on Apple Podcasts, wherever you download podcasts, tremendously helpful. So please do that. In fact, right now we're doing a giveaway, $100 gift card, Visa gift card, or I was saying on another episode, maybe Amazon, whatever. You can pick between the two if you're the winner. Everybody who submits a review in the drawing every month, we pick one person to get that that gift card. We gave it away in the air a couple episodes back. Our last one, I got another one coming up here very soon. If you want in on that, leave the review on Apple Podcasts, shoot me the screenshot, send it to Tony at officehorrorstories.com, and I will put you into the random drawing to win that. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again.
You know, Tony, when you're talking about the random drawing, I thought I should enter because I have been unusually lucky lately.
Why is that? What have you been getting?
I have no idea. I never win anything. And so a while back at my health club, they had a contest. I entered. I won. So then I went to my dentist, and they were drawing for a Yeti cooler, which are super expensive.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, I just won a contest at my health club, and I'm feeling lucky, and I won that. And then last night, after my class at the gym, they had a drawing for a six-pack of some kind of new liquor or a bottle of wine. Uh-huh. I won that.
No kidding.
I know.
It's luck is on your side.
But not if it's a lottery ticket. I'm not, yeah. That's not happening for me. But random like liquor drawings or Yeti cooler drawings. But the Yeti cooler is really nice.
Yeah, those are expensive. Those are nice coolers.
I know. And it's a small one. And it's like $200.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's
a freaking cooler.
That's great.
That's a lot of money.
That is. That's great that you won that. I remember just so many things. It's interesting. I don't know the last time I signed up to try and win anything, because there's always so many stipulations on signing up for things, especially with like, when I was working in radio, with advertisers or something with a station, like anyone who works in media is not eligible, things of that nature.
Right. That happens all the time.
Yeah. So, but, you're bucking the system using fake names and winning prizes. Good for you.
I know, he's feeling good. So I'm just telling people that you can win.
You can win, yes.
It can happen to you. If it happens to me, it can happen to you. And all that's been within like the last 4 months. So that's pretty good.
Well, you should sign up, leave the review, and we'll put you into the drawing.
I'm thinking.
I don't know that I have
Carol
that in the rules.
No relation to me, of course.
Yeah, it's like just happens
She's
to
the winner.
Happens to go to your home address, which would be very awkward. It's like, it's another one. It's another one over here. So sign up, and you could be the recipient of that. 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror story, or on our website at officehorrorstories.com. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, interesting thing, restaurant servers describing the most awful food requests they've ever had. Kind of off the menu items or ways of preparing things. We'll go through that list. And of course, also another overdramatic review. But first, let's go over to our first letter. It says, when I was in university in London, I needed to get a part-time job, so working in a bar was perfect, as it fit around classes really well, and it was a great way to meet people when I had just moved away from home for the first time. Started working in a small bar that had a lot of locals, which made it have a lovely atmosphere, and the pay was decent. The owner owned our bar and a pub down the road, and every Friday and Saturday, he'd start off in the pub and then come to us. After having one too many beers, it would start on something a lot stronger. He would get a pint glass, reach over the bar, and fill at least a third of the glass, if not half of it, with vodka. He would easily go through a bottle of vodka a night, if not two. Obviously, never pay, and would get more and more mental as the night went on. Everyone who worked there knew what he was like. They knew to just stay away from him as much as possible during the weekend shifts. It was one of my first ever jobs, and I really wasn't aware of the rights and wrongs of the workplace. It was only when I picked up a second bar job in a nightclub for some extra money that I started to realize that things were wrong at the bar. The bar would close at 12 p.m., and that's when we'd stop getting paid. But we needed to clear up, mop the floor, clean the toilets, stock the fridges before going home, a whole lot of things. Most of the time, we'd be leaving around 2 a.m., but we were not being paid. After months of being taken advantage of, it was starting to take its toll. There was one time that we had a huge party at the bar. The taking was massive, and our boss decided to keep the party going for another hour or so. We were not asked if it was okay. We were not asked if we could stay and work. It was just expected. I was exhausted as I had been in classes all week and working extra as it was Christmas, and I needed some extra money for presents, etc. After the party finally finished around 1:30, we were expected to clean up as usual. I asked if we were being paid for the extra hours, and I got laughed at. He literally laughed in my face. He told me to carry on cleaning and to stop asking questions. He went to the toilet, came out in a fit of rage, screaming, "You told me you cleaned the toilets!" I replied, "I have. It may not be perfect, seeing as I'm exhausted and the cleaning equipment you have provided is not particularly adequate, but they are clean. I'm sure if there are any issues, the day staff can do it in the morning to help us out." He came storming over, screaming at me that he was the boss and he would decide who does what. I was told to go back into the toilet and rectify my mistakes immediately. I was on my hands and knees cleaning the toilet well after 3 a.m., knowing I stopped being paid 3 hours ago, with a drunk, middle-aged man literally stood over me screaming to do a better job. It's not surprising that was my breaking point. I stood up, walked out of the toilet, grabbed my bag, and told him where he could stick his job. He told me that I couldn't just quit. It had to be in writing, so I grabbed a bar pen napkin, got a pen, and wrote "I quit" on the tissue and handed it to him. Went back a week later to collect my final pay. The manager apologized for the owner's behavior and said he had played around with the roto to make it look like I had worked extra that week to compensate for the extra hours on my final shift. Although the job was awful, that was one of my proudest moments. I was a very shy kid, and that was my first real "fuck you, I'm worth more than this" moment. And I think that's important for all shy people to have. One of those moments, whether it be like that or just in I don't know if you can do it in a non-confrontational way, but having the moment of "fuck you, this I am worth more than doing this."
And there's something very empowering about that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, in the food service industry, now I don't know, I'm sure it's kind of different state to state, but my state, waiters only make like $2 and something an hour.
Yep.
That's all they have to pay them. So you might get done with your last table at 10 o'clock, but then they might have you refill all the salt and pepper shakers, ketchup bottles, you got to vacuum, you might have to clean the toilets. And so you could be there doing your checkout and everything. You could be there another 90 minutes to 2 hours. You don't get paid anymore. Your $2 and some an hour.
With that, though, maybe I'm wrong on this, but it's $2 something an hour, then plus tips. But isn't the law that if you don't make the tips – maybe it's over the whole shift that goes. I was going to say, if you don't make the shift, then they have to make it up to minimum wage.
Yeah, except here's the thing. So, you know, even on a bad night, you might wait tables 5 hours and you made $50.
Sure.
Say.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So you didn't have a great night, but. And then you have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
So you don't even get a paycheck.
Sure.
And it used to be good because a lot of people paid in cash. So at the end of the night, you might get a $20 bill and nobody knew you got that $20 bill.
Sure.
And you know, maybe it was $20 above your 15%. You have to claim like at least 7%.
Yeah.
I think it's 7 or 8%. So they wouldn't know if it was cash, but now that everything's written down, they can see right there how much tips you made. So that's what you're going to get taxed on.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's different. And I guess I was looking at it differently too, because it's not like they're just counting by what you made in the hour from tips. They're looking at the whole night. So,
the whole night.
So those extra 2 or 3 hours that you're making to something, that just kind of spreads your, it makes your, basically your hourly wage, if you were to divide out all those tips, that much lower because you are working that many more hours. Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense now to me. Okay. Yeah. That's shitty.
That said, if you have a good waitering job and you make $200 a night in tips, then you don't really mind that extra because you're making such good money.
Yeah.
When you're waiting tables, but you know, they're not all like that. And then you have your random drunk boss.
Yeah.
So, and actually in the food service industry, that's another thing. Like there's a lot of drunk bosses and coworkers and stuff. I had one years ago. She was the assistant manager. And one night we're just busy and my water was next to her water. And I took a big swig of it. And it was just vodka. And that's what she would do every night. She would just get a big old glass of vodka on the rocks in a water glass. And so by the end of every night, she was shit-faced.
Wow.
So I think that's kind of common too.
Yeah. It's a very rough industry. If you've ever read Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain, very true to what that world is, and a very interesting read. It's just filled with office horror stories, with the office being kitchens all over the world. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number, 833-HATE-JOB, or you can write it at officehorrorstories.com. Since we're kind of on the topic, we can go to this. I found this list. This is really kind of interesting. It's restaurant servers describe the most awful food requests they've ever had. And I know you've been a server before, so I'm wondering if this will bring up any memories or anything you can add to the list or strange requests that you've experienced. The top one on the list is a burger dipped in the restaurant's grease trap.
Oh my God, that's gross.
Yeah, so you get all that extra just death on there. Yeah,
because that's the gross grease.
Yeah, that's like the grease you don't want. You know, it's one thing to be like, ooh, you know, because there's those moments in life, you know, obviously not anymore for you. And really, I'd ever really want this anymore either. Like, but I remember younger years, there was times where, especially after drinking and things of that nature, where it's like a good greasy hamburger hit the spot pretty well when you're, you know, 22. And you had too much and you were out with friends. But now I think the last time I had like a greasy hamburger, like I took a bite going, oh, that's really kind of tasty. And like the second bite, I'm like, okay, that's way too much. And then I had
an adult, you cannot eat that.
Oh my God. I had the worst stomach ache for like the entire night. My body's just trying to process this essential mouthful of Crisco that I just took in. And my whatever it's going through was just like, no, you know, turn it around. And it eventually got through me. But that was the most painful. And I didn't think I had a burger for like months after that, just because it was just far too much. Cheesecake with onion and cilantro. That's a bizarre topping for.
I don't even like cheesecake.
No.
So adding onion and cilantro to it is weird.
I
can't even wrap my brain around that.
No. Taste. I mean, there's a weird thing you can do with some cheesecakes. And it was kind of a bigger deal in the early parts of the 2000s where you were seeing cheesecakes that in like really higher end restaurants that were more like it was like a appetizer type thing. And it was almost like there's like blue cheese or gorgonzola cheesecake. And it was more like a savory cheesecake. It wasn't super pungent, but
okay. So that would make some sense.
It was different. You know, I can't say it was like great, but it was different. And it was kind of in that moment of food where everybody was doing like, oh my gosh, you won't believe this, you know, weird fusion combinations that just were fucked up. And that was kind of in that window. And you know, it can work, but I don't know, onion and cilantro. I guess maybe that would work on the blue cheese one. Here's a gross one, and this is something I remember seeing quite a bit as a kid growing up in Wisconsin, the land of cheese and meat. Somebody requesting a fat piece or a piece of fat from the roast beef covered in gravy. So just a big chunk of fat.
Who are these people who can even eat this?
Wisconsinites. Like, I remember saying this shit.
People without IBS.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
I had an uncle that he was a nice guy, a good guy. Has since he passed away, fairly young in life. I believe he was in his early 50s at the time when he passed. It's been, I don't know, 15 years ago now. But he would not, he didn't take his health as serious as he should. Had a heart attack very early in life, recovered from that, and then had another heart attack, and he had a false heart, a pacemaker. And that eventually, I guess its lifespan had given out. But prior to the first heart attack, as a kid, I remember seeing him at family get-togethers or something. For whatever reason, I remember going to things like buffets quite a bit. I think I had a great grandma who loved going to buffets, Country Kitchen being one of them. Country Kitchen used to have a big buffet at it for like brunch. And I remember him coming back to the table with this giant plate of just piles of eggs and bacon and just gravy and the prime rib piece that had the giant piece of fat on it. Just everything you shouldn't eat in one sitting. And just watching him devour it, including the fat. I remember that many a times where he'd sit there and he would, you know, you eat the meat, and most of us, you know, if we're eating that, we're just going to eat the meat, the red meat portion. I always cut around the fat. I have so much fat left on a piece of meat usually when I get prime rib because there's so much fat usually. But he would sit there and he'd carve up that fat and eat it just like it was the meat. And I would I'd be sitting there gagging on the other
side. That show would make my dog sick.
Yeah. I don't know. The texture to me is disgusting.
He could not eat that. He could not eat it.
Yeah. Some people just love that shit.
Oh.
Microwaving a salad. That's an interesting one. But that's been kind of a thing lately.
It would get all wilty.
You being a vegetarian, have you seen at restaurants this trend of grilling salads?
No.
I've seen it a few times. We grill this grilled Caesar salad. They'll take like a wedge salad and pop it on the grill for a couple seconds so it kind of gets grill marks on it, and then plate it. And it's kind of weird because when lettuce gets warm, the water in it heats up and it becomes wilty and kind of gets that texture. You know, it's not super appetizing, but it's been kind of a thing and I don't get it. I'm not a fan of it, but maybe that's part of it. But how about you? When you were in there, did any strange requests come to mind?
You know, I don't remember, and I'm sure I had them over the years, but it's more of the drinks because I still bartend one night a week because I love bartending. Mm-hmm. And it's weird drinks. Like I got one a couple weeks ago that was like gin and pineapple juice. And I'm like, are you sure that's what they said?
Yeah.
Like all these years, I've never made that. Or, you know, there'll just be something really weird. There was one with a tequila one recently. I can't remember what it was. Like it was like a tequila and cranberry, but actually that probably wouldn't be bad, but it was something really odd. And so I'll make the waiters go back. I'm like, you sure? Are you sure? Because that's a weird drink.
Yeah. You don't want to waste the drink then. Cause like, that's not what I wanted. You just got to dump the drink.
Yeah. Cause some of the servers don't really know cocktails. And sure. I'm like, I've never heard of that combination together. You want to go double check that for me before I make it? It's just kind of strange, but I'm sure back in the day I got some really weird food ones, but like nothing like that. I would remember like the things you just said. That's weird. But the thing, that's what's so crazy about the food service industry, because you get these people who get to boss you around and tell you what to do, and what to give to them. And then you have to do it with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And it's just strange. Like, I'll have that fat with gravy on it.
Here's your
fat
with
gravy. While you're smiling, you went what?
Yeah. It's.
Let you go talk to the chef.
See if we can.
I think it's so crazy.
Carve that off for you over here. I think it was going to go to the dogs, but okay. Yeah, just bizarre. Here's one more before we go to our next story. And I'll actually kind of stick up for part of this one. It sounds bizarre, but it's actually good. Not this entire thing, though. A rare hamburger with peanut butter, ketchup, and mayo. Now, all of that together, probably not the greatest. But I will say, peanut butter on a hamburger is not bad. It is a weird combination. There's a restaurant, I saw it like 10 years ago, actually, at a place in Wichita. And I haven't seen it since, but there's a place down the road from us here that's known as this kind of a burger place. And they have a burger that does the peanut butter on the a burger with caramelized onions. And I think there's cheese on it, too. And it's actually quite good. There's a caramelized jalapeno. So it's kind of sweet and kind of spicy and kind of greasy. And it's my favorite burger. I didn't do the ketchup and the mayo on there. But the peanut butter works with meat. I don't know what that is or why that is. It'd be like the idea of putting Skippy on a steak. Never done that. But it's bizarre, but not half bad.
Well, as a vegetarian, it sounds really disgusting to me.
As you're like gagging over there as I'm talking about this.
I can't wrap up.
Carol, I was really expecting you to be like, shit, fuck it. I'm done with the vegetables. I'm going to get a burger right now and putting peanut butter on it just to see what it's like.
I know it's been 25 years, but still.
You've convinced me in this one segment to completely upend my eating habits. Yeah. Oh, the power of podcasts. 833.
On Facebook, though, real quick, on Facebook lately, I keep seeing this peanut butter and pickles thing.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? I don't know. I've not tried that one yet. But maybe I will after the show. It's a sandwich.
I keep kind of thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't want to really try it. But then I'm like, maybe it would work. It's kind of a disgusting combination that maybe could work.
I would have never have guessed peanut butter on a burger either. But I don't know. I never got into the pickle thing a couple years ago where people were like drinking pickle juice and pickle slushies and that shit. I like pickles.
Oh, and there's like people like it in drinks.
Yeah. I could see like in a martini of some sort, maybe if, I don't know. Even that's kind of a stretch. But, you know, because sometimes you do like the olive juice. It's kind of in the family, but weird. I don't know. But I'm curious. I saw somebody on Instagram yesterday had a video up there of him making a peanut butter and pickle sandwich.
I don't know. All of a sudden on Facebook, I keep seeing it this week.
It's been a thing. I don't know what the hell it's all about, but maybe I will attempt that later. And now that I've lost 10 pounds, let's go fuck it all up with a peanut butter and pickle sandwich. Although peanut butter is not a bad diet food. If you just like have a little bit of it to kind of get protein and fill you up, it works well. It's just when you combine it with everything else. But anyway, 833-HATE-JOB is our number. Let's go to another office horror story. It says, I worked with the office bully from hell. I'm an attorney and she was the administrative assistant at the firm where I worked. She had a long history of office bully behavior and had even been fired from her last job for her abusive behavior. She tortured me verbally and emotionally while I worked there. At one point we were remodeling, so I was temporarily moved to a desk out front. Because I was near the front door, she would put a coat on and then prop the door open when it was below freezing and freeze me out. She'd remove appointments from my calendar so I'd miss meetings and appearances. Clients would tell me, call me, don't have me call you because I don't want to talk to your secretary. Clients would also tell both me and the boss that they really liked us and our work, but couldn't continue with our firm because of the secretary. That kind of makes one wonder what kind of blackmail she must have had in her back pocket that she didn't get fired. There were also those little mental torture games that are typical of office bullies because the actions are calculated to make life miserable, but make you look stupid if you complain. By this, I mean subtle things like loud sighs every time I walk by, constant eye rolling, and the silent treatment, yes, from a grown woman. It makes life miserable and uncomfortable, but what are you going to do about it? go whine to whine that the so-and-so is rolling your eyes at me? Once I got some drops of water on the floor while drying my hands in the restroom, not a puddle, just some drops, and she yelled at me and berated me for being the rudest person she knows because I'm such a pig, and she could have slipped and fallen in my mess of water. While I worked there, I developed ulcers and had a heart issue. The doctor attributed both to the stress. My husband said my personality totally changed, like an absurd, like an abused puppy or something, and I never joked around anymore. I got out of there and doubled my pay in doing so. I love the firm I've been at, and after a while, even my husband said my old personality came back and the sarcastic, funny person I used to be. This was only a sampling of the psychological torture I endured. I think most of it I've probably suppressed. I eventually lost track, but I know she treated at least two people that followed me in that job just as poorly, and they left too. Seriously, what kind of dirt could this troll have had on that place to act like that? Because clients... getting clients to leave and still never be fired? My unsolicited advice to office bullies, do not get better. They never do. And life is too short to continue working with them. That's an interesting thought there. And that's something that I think a lot of us have wondered over the years with shitty bosses. And then some employee on the totem pole that's fairly low on the totem pole that is really not exemplary, not even satisfactory, not even adequate, still remaining employed there, no matter how much damage they seem to be doing.
And that just pisses me off because people like that, like, that's what you do in middle school and mm-hmm. high school. Like, you get away with bullying, which always pisses me off. And I tell kids, I'm like, you wait, because once you get into the workforce, you get reported to HR for shit like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what you get away with in high school, I'll go straight to HR and report you then, or on the anonymous tip line. But in a small company, you can't do that. And so then you get people like that. Like, you know, the bosses have to know.
Yeah, they do.
What she's doing. So it does make you think, why, how do they get to keep their job? Like, what is it that they know? Somebody cooking the books and she caught him and
that,
okay, give her whatever she wants.
Affairs, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Especially if you're like the gatekeeper. That there's a lot of power that's held in that position right there. Although quite often
what's the matter with you then? If you get satisfaction. If anybody listening, like if you're a person who gets satisfaction from treating people like that, you need help.
Oh,
it's not okay.
No,
it's not okay.
It's a form of, it's probably a narcissistic personality disorder when it comes down to it. Cause people with that, they get a lot of joy out of pitting people against one another and the power that they feel and all that. So it's certainly something of that nature that someone who's feeling that sort of a power that would be in that,
get help.
Individual. That's the thing.
They're describing you. Get help.
That's the thing, though. They never realize there's any problem.
No.
And it's everyone else can identify these things, but it's such a rare thing, especially with that one specifically, that they ever identify there's a problem. And that's why those things never get fixed. And they end up just alienating themselves from anyone and everyone they ever come in contact with, family and all. And it can get pretty fucked up, but they're out there.
And, you know, they treat their spouses the same way. Mm-hmm. It's just like, what kind of satisfaction do you get in your life?
Yeah.
You know, treating people like that.
I don't know. It's a mysterious thing. And I don't know. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. Another letter says, I worked retail for 16 years and I have many, many stories. One of my favorite ones is short but sweet. I was a supervisor at the front end of a store many people love. Let's call it Marshmallow and its sister store, DJ the Max. Anywho, If you've ever been into any of these stores, you know, the lines can get insane. I'm a supervisor in the front and I always am short-staffed and always ended up ringing most of our shift. Even though it's store policy that the supervisor nor the manager should ever ring, I call the next customer and this young lady comes up to me without a bag or a carriage and nothing in her hands. I thought it was a little weird that she'd wait in that long line for nothing, but whatever. Here's how it went. Me? How are you today? Did you find everything okay? Yeah, I just need to make a return. Okay. Do you need help with your return? I said, thinking she might have something heavy in her car. Our store sells furniture too. Her, no. As she proceeds to pull out a used, torn panty out of her coat pocket. I just kind of looked at her and she starts explaining that she had only worn them once and had washed them and they had torn. It was a thong, by the way. I thought I was going to puke. And she expected me to take it out of her hand. When I didn't, she put it on the counter and said, "Well, me, I'm sorry, ma'am. I can't take back used underwear. Also, that comes in a pack, and I can't return just one of the three without the other two." Her? "Well, can I just exchange it?" Me? "Again, I cannot take back used underwear. And this comes in a pack, so I can't take it back as a single one." She just stood there, dumbfounded. For a second, grabbed the underwear off the counter, put it back in her pocket, and left the store. I died laughing as soon as she was out of sight and proceeded to tell everyone that I could. I also sanitized my counter because that was just gross.
That was just gross. That was so gross. Like, was she, you think she, maybe she was high or something? Like,
I don't know.
Who would do that?
I think there's just a good sect of people that have zero common sense as to what you can and cannot return and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. I don't know if that is like an experience thing in life where it's like you never went to the store with your mom or dad or someone and saw what is acceptable and what is not. And now you're suddenly an adult and you think because it says returns here, that really does mean anything and everything. I don't know if it's like one of those subtle life cues that people missed. I don't know. I really do.
I still
know.
Think she was high, because like I don't even have the words. So you've got like a 3-pack of thong underwear, and it's like, well, this one's ripped. And number one, how can you really tell? I mean, you'd have to really examine it
on a thong. Yeah,
you know, and I have to take that back. Like, that's like getting 3 pairs of socks and one of them has a hole in it. Yeah. I doubt that I would take that one sock back and ask for more socks.
Yeah. What?
I mean, I might think that shitty that I got a hole in one of my socks, but there's 5 good ones and I'll figure it out.
I think,
and especially a discount store, like hell, half the stuff you buy it, some of those discount stores, once you get them home, have rips in them. That's because you only paid $3 for it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, it did have that little rip, but it was a bargain.
Yeah. You got to kind of watch for that and then accept it for what it is if it rips and then move on with your life. And some stores seem to, they have such lax return policies now, I think because it takes more money for the store, I think, sometimes to deal with turning away people and the angry people than just taking the shit back and saying, fine, whatever, just get out of my store. It's like you can return virtually anything to them. They're like, yep, we'll take it. Sure. You bought it here. Okay. We believe you. Here's store credit. It's like,
oh, I just think that's so strange.
Yeah. It's kind of bizarre, but it is what it is. All right. Time for our next feature. Hang on 1 second here. I got to get this ready right over here. And it's our fun one of the week.
Overdramatic review.
Time for an overdramatic review. This one today is coming to us from the hospitality industry. Not a restaurant on this one. This one is a hotel. And here we go. I stayed at this hotel for 4 nights while I was in town for my uncle's funeral. I checked in without any issues. But when I opened the room to my door, I quickly realized why they only charged me $45 per night, including taxes. I was told at one time it was an old Howard Johnson's Motor Lodge. But old doesn't describe it. All of the furniture looked as if it was frozen in time from the 1970s, and the smell of smoke was horrible. Odd thing, though, there wasn't an ashtray anywhere in the room. I never checked to see what the smoking policy was, but I'd say best it's a smoke 'em if you got 'em rule. The TV was an old tube type, and it seemed to lack a lot of channels it should be showing. There was an HBO guide on my bedside table, but I don't believe HBO was available. The room did not have any kind of closet or anything to hang my clothes from, so I had to resort to hanging everything from the towel hook behind the bathroom door. One of the dresser drawers was missing, but I guess in a way that made it easier to get stuff out of the drawer below when I needed it. I never realized how bad all my clothing smelled until after I had checked out. And on the ride back home to Florida right after the funeral, I stopped at a store to change clothes into something more comfortable. I went to put a t-shirt on and the smell of smoke was horrible. What was even worse was the fact that this shirt was hanging in the middle of all of the rest of the clothing I had to hang in the bathroom. When I finally returned to my home the next day, I checked all of my unused clothes and realized everything smelled of smoke. I had to clean it. I can only imagine what my family thought when they were hugging me all week at the funeral home. I did on several occasions notice the unmistakable smell of pot when I passed people on my way to and from the front office to partake in the morning free breakfast that consisted of commercially produced donuts and instant coffee. There were always a few people smoking it on my way of trips to and from. When I checked in, the clerk didn't inform me of any of the site's policies. On my first morning, I stopped up front and requested that they only change my towels, as making the bed would be a waste of time. The clerk wrote it down on a note and told me she'd let housekeeping know of my wishes. When I returned around lunchtime, I saw several housekeepers in my building. It's an old motor lodge, so there's several buildings. They hadn't made it to my room yet, I thought, so I left again and returned around dinner time. When I walked in my room, the same pile of towels I left on the floor were still there. I went to the desk and told the clerk a different one, and she said she could give me a couple pool towels. The next day, I decided to not say anything and just let the housekeepers do their thing. When I returned late in the afternoon, I again found my pile of towels in the same place I left them. Again, I went to the front office and I was told they should have done a full service that day. I questioned what she meant, and she handed me a form letter explaining their policy. It seems they only do each room Mondays and Thursdays. I was never told that when I checked in, and this letter was not posted anywhere in the office. This time, the maintenance man got me a full set of towels for the day. He told me to leave all the used ones outside the door the next morning and the housekeepers would get the hint. They did, and late in the afternoon, one of them did stop by and gave me another full set of towels. Not once in my stay was my trash picked up, room cleaned, bed made, or anything else you'd expect from even the cheapest motel. Also, when I told my relatives where I was staying, they were horrified and told me to move somewhere safer. I was born and raised in this town, and this location used to be safe, so I stayed there. The place did have Wi-Fi, if you don't mind it starting and stopping all the time and giving you low signal strength while you're using it. I can only hope that it was truly secure. The room was quiet, though. I'll give them that. We set off the road enough that you didn't notice traffic. That's the only good thing I can say about this place. I cannot stress enough how much I do not recommend this place. Stay away. Spend the extra few dollars and stay somewhere else.
I think I stayed at that hotel before.
I think I stayed there too.
So if they only do rooms Monday and Thursday, it kind of sucks if for the person who went in on Monday checked out on Tuesday and the person who checked in had to go to the dirty room.
I guess you get to reuse someone else's towels. I mean, how the hell does that work?
It's like, well, you're checking in on a Tuesday, pal. You get what you get.
Yeah. I it's really very true. You get what you pay for with hotels. And unfortunately, I don't think there's, in many cases, a budget hotel that is going to be of any sort of quality anymore. It's very rare to find it. I'm sure there's some gems out there, but in more cases than not.
Because, like, online, they can look pretty good. Like,
yeah,
the pictures that they post are the ones from, you know,
yeah,
like the one room that they've got fixed up nicely. And you think, that's not too bad. Because we stayed at a hotel in Milwaukee. And so when we left the airport, we just got a cab because cabs were right there, easier than calling an Uber. And so we tell the guy where we're going and he's like, you sure? And we're like, yeah. You sure you want to stay there? Yeah.
Oh, God.
And so on the way, he goes, how many nights will you be here? We go, we're just staying the one night. And he goes, well, I guess that's okay. So when he dropped us off, he gave us his card. He was so sweet. And he's like, in case you need anything.
Wow.
So we went in to the hotel and it was absolutely horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And I'm like, I'm not staying here. And in fact, we booked through like Expedia or someplace and they gave us the money back.
Yeah.
But it was so horrible. And so we called the cab driver. We were like, hey, could you come get us? And he comes and gets us. He says, I'm so glad you're not staying at the hotel. And it's like, he's like, it's not too bad during the day, but at night it's all drug dealers and prostitutes. I mean, like, we walked in and there's literally trash.
Yeah.
Like, it's just trash. Like, they haven't emptied it for so long that there's just trash. And so, yeah.
Go ahead.
But I think that online, because looking back, the photos that they posted online looked great.
Yeah.
Had I dug into the reviews, I would have seen it.
That's what you got to do. I mean, the reviews, I don't even look at the pictures until I've read the reviews. It's like, okay.
And review. I swear, any good ones, like if there's a bunch of really, really bad ones, then there's some really good ones. The really good ones are written by employees.
Yeah. Yeah. I find anything, you know, price, it really kind of depends on the city, but I think like a rule of thumb is almost like anything price point wise below $80, you got to do your due diligence and make sure that it's going to... That,
and the be okay with good. Drug dealers and prostitutes.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not the way it used to. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we'd stay at fairly low-priced motels and hotels, and they weren't, but they weren't like drug dens. They were just, you know, cheaper hotels. You know, you may not get breakfast or anything, but it was safe and it was okay. A lot of that just doesn't exist anymore because, like, those type of places are just fucking drug dens and stuff. Again, I'm sure there's some gems out there, but, you know, having a family and kids and all that when we're out there, I'm at this point now, I don't even attempt anything super low at all, or even if there are even okay reviews, it's like, I'm going to spring the extra couple bucks because I want safety and I don't want grossness. Cause it's like, it's one of the two. You're either going to get the safety issues or it's going to be gross. And there's going to be, you know, hair places, you know, they don't spend the money on house cleaning. So that's where they're cutting the savings for you. But you know, I step up the extra 20, 30 bucks and it usually does wonders, but, yeah. Otherwise, we had one this summer we were staying at, and online the reviews were okay. It was a high 3.5 stars. It was like last minute. We were having a hard time trying to find a place to stay in the city that we were at, and the pictures looked okay. It looked like it was an older Holodome type hotel. It wasn't a Holiday Inn anymore. It was something else, but it was like kind of hotels of what me and Jen remember from our childhood. And we thought, well, that's kind of neat. Let's see, you know, the pictures look okay. The reviews aren't horrible They're not great, but they're not horrible. Get there, booked it through one of the online things. And the room they put us in initially was, you know, we got one for two beds for all of us. And it's a one bedroom smoking. There was like, there was shit on the floor, not poop, but there was stuff on the floor, not cleaned up. And it's like, go back, like, hey, you know, we didn't book this. Like, it's supposed to be this. Like, oh, well, we have a smoking one available. Like, that's not going to work. And like, well, that's all we have, sir. Like, well, I booked it through the online thing. We're going to have to cancel this. Well, you have to call them because I can't refund it. So luckily the online service did refund it, but it was in one of those like too many steps, you know, that you have to go through because they didn't want to do it. So good times.
Had you stayed there, you'd have gone to the funeral and your clothes would have smelled like smoke.
Exactly. And then you have to burn all your clothes and that's it. So,
Well, that cracks me up because that guy's like, people are hugging me and they're not thinking about poor Uncle Bob. No. They're like, boy, like, John just smells like smoke.
This hit you really hard. You smoked 7 packs this morning. Holy shit, John, you're going to be next.
I didn't know he even smoked.
Exactly.
Smell him.
Yeah. So anyway. That wraps up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. If you like the show, give us a review on Apple Podcasts and then shoot me a screenshot of it, tony@officehorrorstories.com. Get in the drawing for the $100 gift card. At the end of every month, we pick one person and give it to you. But you got to enter by submitting that review and sending me the screenshot. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Office Horror Stories.